Welcome to TechNori Live. We're back in studio at WGN talking with Chicago's top entrepreneurs, founders, and innovators. For those of you tuning in for the first time, what is TechNori? Put simply, TechNori is where startups go to showcase. Since 2010, nearly 300 startups have been featured, and they have now gone on to date to raise over $260 million in funding. Well, we have another guest sitting here, Ashish. I'm not going to be able to pronounce your last name, so I'll let you do it.
Dalal.
It's an easy one, but I can't read. So you are the CEO of ParkWiz. We seem to be talking a lot about parking in the last few weeks.
Rightfully so.
Well, of course, and that's the thing. Like, so one of my friends is Mark Lawrence from Spot Hero. He was actually the first company to ever launch at TechNori, literally the first company on stage. So we have kind of a unique tie there. And then we had the guys from ParkX on our show on Saturday. And now we have you. And I think that there's honestly plenty of room. Each one of you guys are kind of handling a different side of things, and I'm really excited to learn more about what you're doing. And I honestly, God, never thought I'd be so excited about parking lots.
Oh, well, that's great to hear. We need more fans with regards to parking.
People got cars, man. People got cars,
and they're not going away, right?
No, they're not. They really aren't. I mean, we've talked about this on the show with everybody else, whether that's parking companies or not. People, you know, Uber is great, but then Uber's still like a bunch of cars. Like at the end of the day, it might be less cars, but it's still cars that have to park somewhere. So I don't think we're going to be getting rid of the parking problem.
Now, our history started, in 2006, is, you know, I started the marketplace in parking, and it was sort of the way our evolution and phase history at ParkWiz has been is sort of the pre-mobile. Today it's mobile, and the next phase is connected car, autonomous vehicle.
Yep.
And so we've seen the evolution from almost a decade of this fascination of the parking industry. And I think now we're starting to see the siloed category start to emerge in mobility services. And it's a pretty fun one.
I think so. I mean, it's not just limited to parking cars. I mean, you're hearing this everywhere. Mercedes-Benz and BMW have come out and talked about how they now are spinning off divisions that are essentially rent-a-cars.
Yep.
Everyone has the ability to own a car, and you can get access to other people's cars so long as you're a Mercedes owner, which, again, leaves this one like gaping problem. If everyone's renting cars, where are the spaces? Where are people putting them at the end of the day? So why don't you kind of give us a rundown on what ParkWiz is for those who aren't aware of it, and then we can kind of talk about how it's evolved and how you've sort of kept up the pace and kept things going.
Yeah, so ParkWiz is a app that you can download, find, and pay for parking. We make it extremely easy for consumers. Tell us where you're going. We'll show you all the parking at or near your destination with savings up to 60% off. So that is really the consumer focus, and we're a marketplace. We work with parking operators to find supply, very similar to, you know, the Expedias of the world. And on the consumer side, consumers who are driving around looking for a parking space. So that's been sort of the focus of us. I think one of the things that we're really seeing evolution-wise is this concept of mobility services. And with regard to, you know, consumers, and we have choice these days. I can get into an Uber, I can walk, I can take public transportation, and I can drive. And parking is part of that concept. And it was just at CES this past week, and it's been taken over by the OEMs, the auto manufacturers. And for us, it's how do we get embedded into that front-end navigation system, which you talk about, that true frictionless experience. I just push button, get in and out of my vehicle, and parking's taken care of. That's really what differentiates us from really anybody else, is that platform that's going to be sitting inside of that car and navigation system.
Very cool. You know, it's funny. I'm trying to think of the name of the company off the top of my head, and I'm forgetting. I guess I'll have to move on because I can't remember it. But there has been lots and lots of talk with CES, with Ford, with Fiat and Chrysler building all of their different sort of systems and dashboards in it. The one question that I would have for your company in particular with this is, so you know, I don't want to mix up Spot Hero and you guys because there's a different thing there, but they've done really well in getting people in the downtown area to know who they are. But in the suburban areas and outside of here, nobody knows like who they are. And I try to use Mark as like sort of my bell whistle, like, hey, you know, that was one of the first companies on our stage. And if you talk to somebody who's a business in the suburbs or out, that doesn't mean anything to them. How are you able to, because it seems like if you take the approach of getting it on their dashboard, you're going to be in front of everyone's car. It doesn't matter where you live.
Yeah.
So how have you guys taken the approach, and you're headquartered down here downtown, correct?
We're in the West Loop.
In the West Loop. So how have you been able to, or have you at all, attacked sort of the suburban, the outer downtown area to get people?
Well, the way we look at it is, you know, parking is a $100 billion industry,
yeah,
global. And so what we focus on here in the U.S., it's about a $30 billion industry. And the largest parking market's New York. So we've really focused a lot of our time and energy with regards to the New York parking market. This past year, we acquired a company, one of our largest competitors, Best Parking. And with that acquisition, not only do we have sort of the number one position with regards to New York City, but they have a data asset. That data asset's allowed us to really create sort of this POI information that OEM companies are really interested in aggregating. But to answer your question with regards to Chicago and suburbans and how we think about it, we actually have some cool, I mean, again, you download the app, it extends a lot of new services. We just launched ParkWest for Business. And so ParkWest for Business, you talk about employees that are coming into the city. You talk about businesses that have fleets out. We're able to now create a new differentiated product experience that half of parking gross receipts is from businesses, people who need to park on a daily basis, coming in 2-3 times, where a monthly parking spot doesn't necessarily make economic sense.
Yep.
And through ParkWest for Business, we're able to provide a curated, elevated parking experience for those tenants.
So this is where my interest in all these things start to really peak, because, you know, obviously we get tons of entrepreneurs on the show and lots of CEOs, lots of CEOs, CTOs, lots of, I don't want to say like design thinkers exclusively, but a lot of people who usually can pivot in new model over and over and over again, and they're just able to just stay always on the cutting edge. And you strike me as a person who's like that, who's able to take information and immediately turn it into another opportunity. It's obvious that businesses would want to use parking.
Yep.
But the mass consumer had to have been, or is probably still, was like the main model, the main business model. And you saw that there was a need or an opportunity, maybe a little bit of both, to start utilizing businesses as a whole, knowing that they're it's easier to predict what they're going to need because they run on, you know, systems. How did you internally, as the leader of your company, kind of get people to buy into like a shift into the business world? Because a lot of times companies that come in here, they start off as a B2C, and all of a sudden they're like, it's not as easy as we thought, and we're going to go B2B, and you start losing half of the people on the team because they're like, you know, they freak out, like that's a bad sign or a good sign, whatever. They're just not, it's different. It's a very different world.
Sure.
How did you manage? One, how did you come to the decision to take that on and go for it? And then two, how did you, I said one, right? One and two. I'm going to make sure I didn't go one and then B or something. Go all home alone on them. How did you get your team to really rally behind this and be able to successfully enter another sort of model?
Well, it's not a different model. I mean, it's a consumer-facing product experience. And I think with the business product, if you guys have used Uber for Business and Lyft has a product, it's, again, targeting a different customer base.
Yep.
And being able to effectively reach those customers where we actually believe that is where the diamond is. Those are where the customers who are really parking and think about parking that we want to reach. Capital is relatively cheap these days, but still, you want to use your capital efficiently.
Yeah,
and so for us, we think that the business product is a huge opportunity as well as differentiator to really find those super users.
I totally agree. I think it's a really brilliant move because, you know, I think of suburbs as the thing. The marketing to get, and I say suburbs because while we do have, you know, 6 million people in this immediate Chicagoland area, there's another 3+ that are like right outside of Chicago, and then even more beyond that. And to get that number of consumers who would come into the city or go anywhere and literally don't know where they're going most of the time, to market to them is very difficult.
Well, and that's the way. I mean, the other end of the day is you have to look at your customer acquisition costs. You have to look at the lifetime value of that customer and how you're going to reach those customers. And can you pay those customers off over the next couple
years? But by doing
years?
B2B, you essentially have offset that cost because those same 3 million people all have a job. And at some point, they go to the conference downtown Chicago or whatever it is, and they get the ParkWest app. And it's like, that's the only brand they know now. And so when they come back downtown as consumers, not for business, they're going to use your stuff again and again because you're the one that they know.
Yeah, and we there's different tactics in which you can go about it. You probably won't see us do billboards and things like that. We have other efficient ways, and we have, you know, we're exclusive partners with Ticketmaster, right? And so when you buy your tickets going to a sporting event, say the United Center,
ParkWest,
or it's going to be right there branded. It's an efficient way for us to acquire
a
customer
and
then be able to monitor. We have exclusive relationships with Ford, Jaguar Land Rover. And so these are the channels in which we think are efficient means in which we can now reach consumers in a very mass adoption type
of way. Well, I was going to say, you're picking brands that literally have like the biggest penetration worldwide, really, but definitely Chicagoland and countrywide. Ticketmaster and Ford has got to be, I mean, Jesus, that's got to make up 30% of the population. People
that's
who
right.
Use
I mean, Ticketmaster is one of the largest consumer commerce brands that there exists. So, yeah.
Very good work.
Yeah,
thank you.
What is
the next thing? I mean, obviously, you talked about the fact that you're going to be integrated in cars, which I don't know. You can't gloss over something like that because that really is like the smart car is like you're going to, I don't know if it's going to take off the way we think it is from a practical standpoint in 17, but you're definitely going to hear about it probably as much as you're hearing about smart speakers now times like five.
That's right.
Because people are, I don't know if you, I'm sure you're aware of this.
Well, it's
people,
funny. Yeah,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, we were at CES last week, and you know, the rage has been for within the connected car. It's like Spotify, and you talk about all these nice infotainment type of services, and those are absolutely critical. But when you really think about the utility of the vehicle, the most obvious number one thing that people think about, maybe fueling is right up there, is parking.
Yeah.
Right? If I'm going to get in my vehicle, I want to be able to, and so we believe at the end of the day, to truly remove that friction in terms of the park of the driving experience, parking has to go hand in hand with us. And the OEMs believe that, and we're starting to see a trickle down effect. You know, Volkswagen just acquired a parking company, Pay by Phone, out in Europe. And so we're going to start to see this massive impact between commerce and payments. And we're sitting square in the middle between commerce and payments of parking and embedding that into the connected car. And it's a pretty cool opportunity.
So what I was going to say, and you just nailed it, you teed it up perfectly. I'm glad that you went before I went. What is interesting to me about the smart car experience and the driverless car, or at least the automated, you know, driver car, is where does it stop? The car is going to be, you know, you put in the destination,
yeah,
but then the car, all of a sudden, at some point, about 5 to 10 minutes into my trip or before the trip ends, I have to be alerted that I don't have a place to park the damn car.
That's right.
And so if you don't have something automated to, like, systematically park me where I'm supposed to go and it's not IoT, that is a really, really annoying sort of example of like how this would not work well. Right?
Well, so Audi has already showed that, you know, 26% of parking spaces inside of a vehicle, inside of a garage, excuse me, would be reduced by having autonomous vehicles shared with human-driven vehicles. And if you start to truly go to autonomous, you can remove 60% of parking spaces. But then the operative question becomes, how long? Where's that car going to go? How long does it need? What's the price of that payment? And that's, again, the intersection between commerce and payments. You have to have a service layer embedded into that system, whether it's on the mobile phone or embedded into the front-end unit. And that's the space by which we are evolving our company to the next
Brilliant.
Phase.
Very good work. And the last thing I was going to say, it's obviously too niche for you, but it has a personal value to me, is the electric car piece of this. Yep. I think that the electric car experience is going to be the test line for like total autonomous like experience. And, you know, as you're probably well aware, like charge points that are everywhere, they have their own app, but it sucks. And you essentially, unless the person goes into charge point and says, I'm using this station, you have no idea if these spots are all full or not. And so, like, I think the easiest way for you guys to use the autonomy part in the smart speaker sort of system in the car is to be able to push through my app. Like, I know I'm going to Tribune Tower. Your ParkWiz app should push me towards the ParkWiz garage that has available smart car parking or electric car parking. And if you could run that wheel and test it out, you could essentially get an exact glimpse of where the future is going to be.
There's no question there's the future there. It's a small percentage of vehicle
it's not
owners
worth
today.
The big money today.
The Bay Area is different. I mean, the Bay Area have a higher percentage of consumers who are driving those. But absolutely, to your point, vehicle charging and pre-reservation of those spaces. I mean, in our garage that I park with ParkWiz, there's only two spaces reserved for electric vehicles. That's not enough to take care of the demand. So that's going to be another huge future point that OEMs are pushing us on, as well as where we see some significant opportunities.
This is very cool. I would love to have you back on again after you've kind of continued to conversations with those you met at CES and see where this goes, because for a whole multitude of reasons, I am incredibly fascinated with the smart speaker, the smart car sort of IoT piece of this. And I really do think that the parking thing was like that, in my mind, was that end all. Was like, well, this is all great, but where the hell do you leave the car?
That's right. No, we're excited. We're excited to be part of that conversation to really start to change the future.
Well, you will be back for sure. Where do people go to learn more about ParkWiz?
www.parkwiz.com or download our app on our iOS or Android device.
You've said that before, I think. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate it.
Of course. We are going to be having our Technori Showcase back. It's finally back in town. January 31st, it's going to be crowdfunding is sort of the theme. Go figure. One of the companies definitely going to be on the stage is going to be Ellison, who's been a guest many times. They hit the crowdfunding minimum already on the Republic platform. There's another company called Givings.shops. I can't remember. But Ronnie Sage is my man, and he's going to be also featuring and launching his company. We're going to have a couple of companies who are coming from, one from Los Angeles called Wimmy. There's a handful of other companies. And essentially, we look at this as an opportunity for people to learn more about crowdfunding if they're going to get involved in it. And we think that it potentially could be a big changer for the experience at Technora. You can actually come in and get involved with these companies if you want to. Of course, not mandatory, and it's not mandatory to be crowdfunding if you come on stage. So if you want to get on stage, please go to technora.com and send your application in now. We're going to be picking the teams and announcing it via email in the next week. Look for a Thursday email with more details around this event. And as always, you can keep up with our shows, Technora Stories, The Feed with Sean on Facebook and Twitter at Technora. You can follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.